John chapter 6, verses 1 to 21. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. At the beginning of John chapter 6, we read of Jesus' 4th and 5th signs, the first of these being the feeding of the 5,000, and the second being the walking upon the waters. The feeding of the 5,000 is a story found in each one of the 4 Gospels. As such, it's one of the few stories that finds its way into each of the Gospels as an independent account. Reading the stories, though, there are differences in the way that they are told, the ways that they are situated within the larger panels of the Gospels. And these different situations can help us to see different facets of the stories. They're easily harmonized, but sometimes there are ways in which certain details of the story are thrown into sharper relief. In John's account, the story begins with a crossing of the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias. And he's followed by a large multitude, a large crowd, who have seen the signs that he's been doing. He goes up a mountain, and there he sits down with his disciples. And this is all around the time of the Passover, the Feast of the Jews. Now, by this point, all of the alarm bells that alert us to typology should be ringing loudly in our heads. Around the time of the Passover, crossing over the sea, followed by a great multitude, going into the wilderness, going up a mountain. This is the story of the Exodus. It's the Exodus pattern. It's all taking place at the time of the Passover. Now, Jesus sees this crowd, and he seeks to provide food for them. First of all, he asks Philip, "Where are we to buy bread?" And when we consider in the other Gospels the situation in which this occurs, it's one of those details that gives some sort of witness to the historicity of these events. Philip comes from this particular area, so it's natural that Jesus would ask Philip where to get food, because this is his neighbourhood. And yet, Philip can't really provide food. He doesn't know where to get the food. He presents the scale of the problem. I mean, 200 denarii of bread would not be enough for each person to just get a little scrap. So Jesus needs to feed this great number of people with his disciples, and the disciples are presented with the problem. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, brings forward this boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Yet what use is one boy's packed lunch for such a multitude? Jesus instructs his disciples to get the people to sit down. And it's observed at this point that there's much grass in that place. It's an interesting and strange detail to mention at this point. I suggest that maybe if we read further on in the Gospel, it will help us to understand why this is mentioned here. I think it's because Jesus talks about leading people out so that they might find good pasture. Much grass is the pasture that he has led out the sheep to. Like Moses, he's the shepherd that leads the people through the wilderness. Here he leads them to a place where they find good pasture. And so the men sit down, about 5,000 in number. It's interesting that it's just the men that are counted. We'd think if you're feeding people, you'd count the men, women and children, but yet it's just the men. This might be associated with the counting of a military number. Israel goes out of Egypt in ranks of 5 or 50 and enters into the promised land in the same way, counting the people in this way and dividing them into groups, as we see in the other Gospels, is a sort of military arrangement. Now, what might that have to do with anything? In the story of the Exodus, as they are led into the wilderness, the leadership of the people is divided among the elders by Moses under the advice of Jethro. And it's the same time there's the feeding of the people with the manna just beforehand. And this, I think, is a bringing together of those two events. They're led into the wilderness. There's going to be a miraculous feeding of them, which will later lead into a conversation concerning the manna. But Jesus is dividing the people among the leadership of his disciples. They are the elders of a new Israel. And so he gives the disciples this task of leading the people, dividing the people among them, numbering them as a military numbering would be, a numbering of the assembly of the people, the rulers of the people. Then he takes the loaves, he gives thanks, he distributes them to those who are seated. And what I think we're seeing here is playing out in principle of the pattern of the Eucharist or the pattern of the supper. We do not have an institution of the supper within John's Gospel, but yet we do have all sorts of supper themes within this chapter. I've already mentioned the possibility of a panel structure for the seven signs of John's Gospel, with the first, second and third signs paralleled with the fourth, fifth and sixth signs. And if the first sign is paralleled with the fourth sign, then we have a parallel between the turning of the water into wine and the provision of bread at this point, which would be an interesting parallel to observe, that Jesus is providing both wine and bread. And when the people have sat down, they distribute the food to all who are seated, and they each get all that they need. And then he instructs his disciples to gather up the leftover fragments, and they gather up, fill 12 baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves. Now, that reference to the number of baskets filled is found in the other Gospels and is seen as a sign in itself. It's a matter of importance that they gather up 12 baskets. Is that associated with the number of Israel? Is it particularly assigned to them that they will have more than enough left over for each one of them as individual leaders of the people? I'm not entirely sure, so I'll leave that as a question for you to ponder. The people see that he has performed this great sign and proclaim him to be the prophet who has come into the world. Once again, these are themes from the Exodus. The prophet is the one who Moses spoke of, the prophet like Moses. And he's the one who's to come into the world. He's played out these Moses themes. And so the people are ready to make him a king. But seeing this, he goes off and he leaves them. And the disciples go into a boat around the time of evening and start out towards Capernaum. Jesus has not come to them yet, and the sea becomes rough. There's a strong wind blowing. These are things that might be associated with the original creation, darkness upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God hovering over the water, or upon the events of the Exodus, the waters being troubled by that great wind and the darkness that is during the night of the crossing of the Red Sea. And they see Jesus coming on the sea towards them, nearing the boat, and they're frightened, they're afraid. These are, again, events of a sign. What is the sign that might occur here? Well, we might think, perhaps, as an anticipation of the resurrection. In the other Gospels, we see clearer anticipations of this in the sea events. For instance, Jesus sleeping in the boat, the storm outside, earthquake and all these sorts of things. And then Jesus rising up and bringing peace and calm. That's the event of the resurrection presented in a symbol. Here I think we're seeing something of that, but in a less clear form. Jesus is the one who brings peace when they are in trouble in the boat. He's the one who presents himself, it is I, be not afraid, And the statement, "It is I," or "I am," is a statement of his divinity in part. And so they take him into the boat, and immediately they're at the land to which they were going. This is then a story, I think, that anticipates other events that will happen later on. It's also a statement for the church, that the church is in many respects like a boat that's gone out to sea. When we think about the disciples that Jesus calls in the New Testament, they are fishermen for the most part. The key disciples are fishermen. In the Old Testament, things are dominated by shepherds, but in the New Testament, it's fishermen. And the church is a body that has gone out to the Sea of the Gentiles and is in the storms and the unsettled world of that Gentile world, and yet God has control over the storms, over the waves, just as we see in the story of Jonah, which is concerned to a mission to the Gentiles. So in the New Testament, these stories of shipwrecks, the stories of storms, the stories of struggles at sea are stories that have to do with a Gentile mission. And the church, as this part of the land that has gone out to the sea, I think this is partly what the sign is supposed to present. And so we can see in the feeding of the 5,000 that there is a Mosaic theme, a theme of Exodus. And here we see God's power over the waters and God's power over the Gentile nations. A question to think about. In the ministry of Elijah and Elisha, we have a number of parallels with the ministry of Christ, particularly in the miracles that are performed. What is an example of a miracle in the story of Elisha that reminds you of one of these miracles?